When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the new high-speed stuff blog now on the HowStuffWorks homepage.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Ben, here with our auto editor, Scott. Scott, say hello to everybody.
Hello.
Oh, man. I love that voice. It's a voice made for radio and auto expertise.
Yeah.
I got an easy one for you today.
Okay.
All right. We were talking a little bit previously about concept cars, the future of automotives. Mm-hmm. Will we have flying cars? Mm-hmm. A lot of exciting topics.
Awesome stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And one thing that got me thinking about concept cars, man, was... I was looking around at one of my friend's cars, and she's got one of these plugins for her iPod.
Okay.
So, you know, I see that as an evolution of radio in cars.
Sure.
That she can just plug in an MP3 player, take it wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And I started wondering, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, auto trends. Because there are a lot of things automakers try,
mm-hmm.
and even make it to mass production.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, do you have any that just pop out in your mind?
Oh, yeah, there's a ton of these. I mean, it's easy to spot them, really. I mean, mm-hmm. it's things that, actually, it's easier to think about what you have seen in the past and then what you don't see now. So it's you know, these trends that have come and go, because trends don't last really that long. I mean, they're design elements, or if they're functional in some way, you know, there's all different varieties of these. Some are technological advancements that, mm-hmm. that cause certain trends to go away, and I don't even know if you can call those trends or not. Maybe you can. I don't know. I kind of fought with that thought for a while.
Okay.
But because, you know, to be fair, you know, if you have the latest audio system in your car, you know, as soon as that advances, you're going to probably upgrade to the next thing. Was the previous audio system really a trend? I don't know. I'm not sure.
That makes sense, because we're talking about early adopters at that point.
Yeah, that's right. That's early adoption of technology.
The same guy who got the 8-track, got the cassette player, got the CD player.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay.
And of course, vehicles advance with that. You know, they become standard equipment, and you know, mm-hmm. but you know, if you're actually physically changing hardware within your vehicle,
mm-hmm.
then you know, then you're just advancing with the time. You're like I said earlier, or you said early adopting that technology.
Well, I've got one.
Okay, great.
I've got one that I feel I should get out of the way, because we're talking about radios.
Sure.
Record players in automobiles.
Oh yeah.
Had no idea.
Yeah, you must be talking. There was a Chrysler, I believe, that had that, right?
Yes.
I'm unfamiliar with what year that was, but what do you think of it? What do you think? It was a good idea or a bad idea?
I thought it was pretty cool, because it's a selling point, you know. So that's the main thing. It's a selling point.
Yeah, sure.
Practical? I don't know. I have never seen one in real life.
Yeah.
You know, I was very surprised, but it seems to me like the natural evolution we were talking about before. But I would argue it's a trend, because it was kind of a game changer when it came in, you
mm-hmm.
know. It gave people more of a reason to be in their car.
Sure, it's an option above and beyond AM radio
right.
at the time,
yeah.
right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because it was, I mean, I'm not familiar exactly with what year it was, but I would guess, was this mm-hmm. the 50s?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Chrysler from sometime in the 50s had this record player that pulled out from the middle of the passenger side dash, mm-hmm. I think it was.
Yep.
A terribly impractical idea, but, you know, you could imagine. It's hard enough to get a record to play straight, you know, when it's sitting on a desktop.
Sure.
Imagine traveling down the road.
Hitting bumps.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
It was more like an automatic record scratching device.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably it. I'm sure that there was something built into it that made it a little more practical, you know, that made it a little more shock resistant, I would hope.
You know what, man? We should check with the guys on the B-Side podcast see how turntables started.
They probably would have some information about this.
There might be something on there.
Very good idea. Yeah. But if you want to take that a little further, that, you know, there was, of course, there was AM, FM radio, then there was, you know, this record player that you're talking about, which saw its, you know, very little production.
Yeah.
Then there was 8-track players and cassette players.
Mm-hmm.
CD players, and what's next? I mean, you know, there's DVD players in cars now, of course.
Yeah.
Movies.
Satellite radio.
Audio DVD even. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's just kind of this advancement of technology that drives something like that. But a lot of what we're going to talk about today are more cosmetic.
Cosmetic ones?
Yeah, kind of the fun stuff, you know, like just the stuff that people try out, and, you know, maybe it lasts for a while. Some of it's functional, but for the most part, mostly just, you know, decoration.
Bring on the fun, man.
All right, sure. Let's, again, mostly design, but looking back in the 50s,
mm-hmm.
tail fins. You don't see tail fins anymore.
Ah, you don't, you know.
That's a big one. Oh,
that's
and,
a shame.
You know, if you want to see a car that has almost, well, we've used this before, but cartoonishly large tail fins, mm-hmm. look at the 59 Cadillac. You know, they're huge fins. I mean, put your eye out fins.
Yeah.
You know, if you to fall on them, you would kill yourself. That's they're terribly sharp and enormous. They're awesome looking, though. They're really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, cars of that era are really design heavy.
Mm-hmm.
57 Chevy, the Cadillacs that we mentioned. There's just a ton of examples of cars with tail fins.
Very stylized.
And you don't see them anymore. You don't see tail fins on any cars anymore.
Except in Cuba.
In Cuba.
Well, you know,
really?
All
of course,
cars.
All the classics. Yeah, I wasn't thinking. Yeah, good catch. Another thing that we don't see much anymore: fender skirts. Do you even know what fender skirts are?
I have no idea what a fender skirt is.
You kind of looked at me like you didn't know what they were. There, fender skirts, and actually, we'll talk about this a little later, but they may be coming back in a modified way. Fender skirts are they cover the rear wheels. That I say what they are, you probably know.
Yeah.
You really can't see about 3/4 of the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
You only see the bottom 25% of the wheel.
They go down to the very bottom of the car body.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. Okay. And again, pretty impractical. You know, if you're going to try to change that tire or you know, do any kind of maintenance on that wheel, but they make the car have a distinct look, and they're very streamlined looking. They're very beautiful. I mean, they have a nice look. You go to a Concours show or something like that, where, you know, that era of vehicles, the 40s, 50s, more so in the 40s, I would say, is very popular. And they don't put them on the front because, you know, we got the wheels
turning.
You have to turn and it would rub. I'm sure that there were some that had covered wheels, you know, that were in kind of pontoon situations. But, that's one thing that we'll talk about it later, but I think that's one that may be coming back.
That might be your pick.
Yeah, it may be on its way back in. I'll tell you why later. Running boards. We talked about running boards.
Yeah.
Running boards on cars, because in trucks, you still see them occasionally. Pretty popular for a big truck to have running boards, and that's something that helps you step into the vehicle.
Yeah.
Now, in cars, it used to be functional and decorative. You know, you could stand on these running boards.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen presidential limos with
you know,
Secret Service standing on the running mm-hmm. boards. Also, you know, think back to you know, some of the older movies you've seen. You've seen photos or movies of gangsters standing on the running boards as, you know, they're leaving town after the big bank robbery. They're, you know, shooting it up.
Hoisting the Tommy gun.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're standing on the running boards. And, you know, those were, again, very functional, but they also had an appearance aspect to them. You know, they made the car have this, you know, kind of a long flowing line from the front to the back.
I think I see what you're saying. I've got one that might be, in that case, more cosmetic. Scott, whatever happened to chrome? You know, I wasn't around and driving in the 50s. So unfortunately, I may have missed my heyday,
mm-hmm.
my chrome heyday.
Yeah, you're right. Chrome is a big one. I hadn't thought of chrome. That is it's still popular among hot rodders.
Sure.
There are certain packages I know that you can get on vehicles that actually are called the chrome package, where maybe the windows on the side of the vehicle are outlined, and maybe they have chrome door handles.
Okay.
Or chrome accents, but yeah, the days of the big chrome grill and mm-hmm. I don't know, we're not seeing as many chrome wheels anymore. Even if you kind of watch what's going on, you see a lot of brushed aluminum or brushed metals or even black or dark colors like gray. And the chrome is kind of going away. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Very good. Good catch.
Oh, thank you.
One other thing I was thinking about, and this kind of goes with our chrome era, big caddies and lots of chrome, curb feelers.
Curb feelers.
You're looking at me with that look again. Do you know what a curb feeler is?
I would love to know.
Okay. I almost kind of make fun of these sometimes when I talk. Right. Curb feelers, they're, if you look at a giant old Cadillac from, let's say, the 70s, there's a chance you'll find curb feelers on that car. And they look like, I guess the best way to describe them would be like two whiskers, I guess, or metal rods that stick kind of out at an angle from the front bumper, like the lower right front bumper or the lower right rear bumper.
Okay.
And the reason for those is that really all they do, they are curb feelers. They scrape the curb if you get a little too close, and that lets you know that your vehicle, you're getting close to the curb and you don't want to bump your wheels or your rims against the curb and scrape them. They're helpful when you're parallel parking.
Yeah.
Queen Mary size vehicle that you're driving.
Sure.
And I've even seen smaller vehicles with them. Just, somebody wants to be aware of where that right front side of their car is, because, that's a side you can't really see all that well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're, not quite aware of where that is or at all times, they may be helpful. And what they do, they just make a scraping. That's all they do. They hang off to the front. They're a little bit flexible in that they make a scraping sound when they hit the curb or whatever they're hitting.
Yeah.
But, they can be bent and ripped off, if you hit them too forcefully. But really extremely low tech.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen them on cars unless you go to a car show.
Sure. You know. Pretty good idea, though.
Kind of is, yeah.
I think so. Kind of is. I'm just not a, I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of parallel parking. Yeah. I can do it, but I'm not happy.
They look a little funny. They look a little funny when you see them on cars, but
sure.
They're called curb feelers, and custom cars still use them. Interesting. If you look for them, you'll spot them.
I know it's going to be like that. It's going to be like that don't think of pink elephants kind of thing. I'm going to see them everywhere.
That's right. You might.
I got one for you.
Okay.
Steering wheels used to have clocks.
What?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a steering wheel.
Are you serious?
No, I don't think I have. Where? Right in the center?
Honestly, man. Yeah. Honestly, man. If you don't know about it, it makes me think that I might have gotten it wrong.
No. I just never heard of it.
Yeah. Apparently, before digital clocks were really ascending, right, mm-hmm. in the world of car displays,
mm-hmm.
They would have a non-digital clock that mm-hmm. was more conventionally on the console.
Sure.
But then a stylistic conceit, if you will, would be to put it in the center of the steering wheel, so that I guess the idea being the customer who buys this car is a guy or girl who's so on the go that they don't have time to look down and to the right.
I see. Yeah. I see. Very interesting. I didn't know that was even available.
Well, maybe it's like the record player thing, honestly, because they're gone.
No, they're gone. I haven't seen one in a long time, and I would think that airbags have a big part in that.
Sure.
You can't have a clock blowing into your face at 200 miles per hour or whatever they come out at yet. So
yeah,
interesting.
What else you got?
Here's one.
All right.
This one, of course you're going to remember this one. This one kind of went away very recently. Pop-up headlamps or hidden headlamps.
Oh yeah, I always thought those were so cool, man.
They are pretty cool. They're plagued with problems. Depends on who you talk to, because some will say, no, these are the most reliable thing I've ever had on my car.
Well,
but
they're probably wrong.
Some of them are mechanical. Some of them are run with vacuum lines.
Yeah.
So, if you get a little pinch in that line or a hole mm-hmm. in that line, they're not going to work. Some are electric. All kinds of variation. Early on, now those have been around since the 1930s or the mid-1930s, believe it or not.
Really?
The first hidden headlamps were like a hand crank. You would hand crank. The driver would crank the doors open to reveal the headlamps. Later they become automatic, of course, and they hung on until now. From what I've read, this is there may be still an example or two out there. I'm not 100% sure, but I think the 2004 Corvette and the Lotus Elise. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, not Elise. The Lotus Esprit.
The Lotus Esprit.
Yeah, I misspoke.
Okay.
The Lotus Esprit. I believe those two vehicles were the last two vehicles in 2004 to use pop-up headlamps.
Oh, man.
And, you know, you saw them on quite a few vehicles for a long time. Corvette used them for something like 40-plus years.
Yeah. It's just they're so cool, man. I think it's – I don't know what it was, but I was always impressed by those. In college, I had a roommate who had a vehicle. I can't remember what it was. All I remember about it was it was painted this ungodly bruised purple color, and it had those headlights.
Oh man, that's pretty cool. Those are cool. They give the car a sleek appearance when they're hidden.
Sure.
When they're up, it kind of has, I don't know, almost a face look because it looks like eyes.
It does.
I don't know. That's an interesting one that, you know, it's, I don't know, just very recently gone away, and I don't know if they're going to come back. They may.
R.I.P., man.
They may.
I miss those.
Yeah. here's one. Okay. This is one here. Now, here's one that is coming back, that went away for a long time and is coming back. You'd be kind of surprised by this.
All right.
Plaid car interiors. Plaid.
Wait.
I'm talking pattern on the seats. Plaid
so those
interior.
Are coming back?
Yeah, they're coming back.
They're not just coming out?
No. They're not just coming out. They've been around for quite a while. I mean, if you look back at... Well, there was a famous race car, a 1955 Mercedes. There was an SLR.
Mm-hmm.
It was a production race vehicle, or I shouldn't say production, but it was a race vehicle Mercedes made. Had plaid interior. Mm-hmm. The trend, I don't know if that was the beginning of the trend or not, probably not, but that's one, I don't know, common example that you can just easily spot it online. You can quickly search for that and see it.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1960s, kind of that era, I know I've seen some vehicles parked in garages that have these plaid interior. Now they may be vinyl, but some of them are cloth, and usually they're attached, to these big kind of not muscle cars, but cars of that era. You know, that 1960s kind of big bench front seats and. Mm-hmm. Plaid interior is kind of a unique thing. It's coming back, and I'll tell you why, because the 2009 Volkswagen GTI has plaid seats.
Factory?
Not all of them, but you can get a plaid. Okay. You can get a plaid interior. Yeah, factory original. You can get a plaid interior in a 2009 VW GTI.
Oh, it's coming back, man.
Yeah, it is. And I, you know, at one point I covered car seats in one of the vehicles that I had with plaid material, and I did a pretty decent job with it. If I do say so myself.
Yeah, thought
good.
You were hot stuff.
Yeah,
huh?
You know, it was different. It looked pretty cool. It looked all right. It was it was a little low key. It wasn't anything outrageous or anything, but it looked pretty good.
That makes me think of another one. I don't know if these ever are out of style because you still see them every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Those beaded seat covers. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. The wooden beads.
Uh-huh.
They look terribly uncomfortable.
I don't know, man. Apparently, people who sit in them say that they have a good time. So.
That's very funny. I don't know why that struck me as funny. They have a good time when they sit.
Do you have any more blasts from the past?
I do a couple.
Yeah, let me hear.
Let's do them fast, and I'll just get through them because they're getting long here.
No.
Here's one. Well, just briefly, T-tops. You don't see T-tops on cars anymore.
You don't.
Old Smoking the Bandit cars, you know.
Yeah.
That was my first car. 1978 Pontiac Trans Am had T-tops.
Oh, man.
Just like Smoking the Bandit. It had the big Screaming Eagle on the hood and everything. It was gold. It was the 10th anniversary edition, special gold, all that stuff. It was
That was
something.
Your first car?
It was, and those T-tops were terrible. At highway speed, they would kind of flap like wings almost.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, when they had the proper hardware, they were right. But the idea behind that was that, you know, it gives you kind of the feel of a convertible, mm-hmm. but there's the structure that's there, and it's safer. They didn't have quite the they didn't have the ability to make these, posts for the windshield that would hold up under a rollover situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was important to keep structure in the cars when you could.
That's the idea.
Well, they did look cool. Yeah, they were kind of cool.
All right. What's next?
We mentioned this one briefly when we talked about plaid interiors, but front bench seats in cars.
Oh, yeah.
And so a lot of cars had bench seats, and you don't see that anymore.
Remember, you'd have to, in the age of the bucket seat.
Yeah, you'd have to reach underneath, and, you know, everybody at the same time would have to lean forward or lean backwards.
right.
I don't know if you remember that or not, but it's kind of like we're going to move forward, and everybody would get ready and slide forward a couple inches or whatever.
One of my first cars actually was an older Oldsmobile, which still had... It had kind of a trade-off. It had the convenience bench seat where the driver's was kind of like a bucket because it was divided with a thin line.
I know what you mean.
But everybody else was attached.
It was a faux bench seat.
Yes.
I understand. Okay, and then I've got one more thing I got to say before we kind of wrap this up, but I would feel like we're not talking about auto trends or car trends if we didn't talk about custom vans.
Do you know how badly I want a custom van?
I think maybe I do. Yeah, yeah. But there's a lot of trends that we've seen come and go that center around vans.
Yeah.
And you'll know what I'm talking about, and we'll go through these super fast so we're just done with it.
But, okay, I promise I won't interrupt.
I've heard before, you got to respect the van. So here's what we're going to say. Murals airbrushed on the sides of vans.
Oh, okay.
Don't see that much anymore, right?
Yeah.
Shag carpet interiors,
mm-hmm.
floor, walls, ceiling, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Shag carpet, yeah. How about this one? Mushroom-shaped windows in vans.
Yeah.
Don't see those ever anymore. Nope. They're usually like blue or red or something like that, made out of plastic. You ever seen this one? Real wooden, like barrel almost, bucket seats in custom vans. I remember seeing that so often. Mm. And I don't know if it was just a local shop that was doing this or what, but when I was a kid, I remember seeing several vans with actual barrels that were made into seats or converted into van seats.
That's pretty cool.
Strange. And then, of course, chain steering wheels.
Chrome again, but chain
steering wheels. I don't know. I just thought those were some interesting ones.
Yeah, man. Oh, I can't believe you hit that nerve with me, man.
you really want a van. Huh?
Oh, for years.
Yeah?
For years before I could drive.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Scooby-Doo. Or
the Mystery Machine.
Yeah, or if it was...
The A-Team?
Yeah, the A-Team, various ne'er-do-well members of my extended family. But, yeah, I thought they were awesome. I've got one for you that I think is a... This is my prediction.
Oh, prediction.
Yeah, okay. I know. Usually predictions are more your strong suit.
I've got a couple of...
You got some predictions?
General predictions, but go ahead.
I got one for you. Mm-hmm. I believe onboard cigarette lighters are dying out because less people are smoking.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they are going to make a full transformation into power plugs, power sources. Because now we have a lot of cars that are neither fish nor fowl, you know, somewhere in between there.
You're absolutely right. That's already in progress. Yeah, I mean, I come from Detroit, you know, just before this, and for a long time, you had to order a special package that was the cigar package in order to get an ashtray and a because you know normally that would just be a cup there. You don't have ashtrays really anymore,
right?
The metal lined ashtrays, and the you know the what's now called a power outlet, you know that just wouldn't have a cigarette lighter. You know the old cigarette lighter that you would push in to light.
Yeah, and they'll pop out.
Yeah, they're already on their way out now, and all manufacturers haven't done it yet. So you're correct in saying that you know they're transitioning still, but a lot of them are on the way.
Bam, Scott, so, yeah. I officially retire as a winner from the world of auto predictions.
You're gonna go out on top of your game.
I'm coming out at the top, man. Yeah. So it's your turn.
Well, I've got a couple, and this is the very last thing I have to say about this. I promise.
What is it?
Comeback trends. I'm going to call it comeback trends.
That's a good one. That sounds
and
good.
And one, this is very simple to see. I mean, and it involves motorcycles, choppers.
Oh,
choppers
yeah.
were huge yeah. for a long, long time, and then went away. In favor of more efficient, just smaller, more compact bikes or sport bikes, whatever.
Different style.
Choppers are they're in, man. I mean, they're back. They have been for quite some time now. You look at the guys at the Orange County Chopper guys. They base television programs around these things. So West Coast Choppers with Jesse James and that crew out there.
Yeah.
There's a big deal. So they're coming back and they're popular and people love to see them.
Mm-hmm.
There's some wild stuff, and we talked about this one, and this is the last one I'll mention, but fender skirts. I truly believe that auto manufacturers are going to start adding or applying fender skirts to their vehicles for aerodynamic purposes.
Oh.
And there's already a couple of examples of these that are in modern vehicles. Now, these two that I have are out of production. There's one that is soon to be in production that does that fender skirts. Now, remember, this is from back in the 40s, and it went away, and then there were some vehicles that had smaller versions of fender skirts in the 60s, 70s. You know, there were just a few, but not very many. Like the Lincoln Continental, I think, had those. Cadillac also.
Mm-hmm.
Fender skirts that on recent vehicles, GM's EV1. Remember that vehicle?
Yeah.
The whole documentary, Who Killed the Electric Car, that.
Yeah.
That vehicle had fender skirts, and that was for aerodynamic purposes because, they're trying to maximize efficiency out of that electric vehicle. Another example of a vehicle that had them, and it's since out of production, about 2 years ago, Honda's Insight, that had fender skirts as well.
Hmm.
The Insight, that's the one that we talked about in another podcast that, hypermilers can get 100 plus miles per gallon.
Right. That's a hybrid.
Yeah, it's a hybrid.
Okay, so I see we see the trend then. What
and
you're saying?
The next one is not a not a hybrid vehicle, but it's on its way. It's the Volkswagen 1 liter car that we love to talk about.
Oh yeah,
I should say I love to talk about.
Oh, you converted me a long time ago.
Yeah. So the 1 liter car will have fender skirts as well. If you look at the back end of that, the wheel's covered up.
Yeah.
And again, aerodynamic purposes, and that's not a hybrid, but it's for maximum fuel efficiency.
That car. I mean, I love when we bring up that car, because I did a little research after we talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense to me that they would, the brilliant engineers making that car,
mm-hmm.
would drop some fender skirts.
Yeah, you would think so. Yeah, yeah.
I know what those are.
Yeah, that's right. Now that you know what fender skirts are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's what I've got.
Well, Scott, thank you so much. I think we saw some pretty interesting trends. We kind of took a trip through time.
Yeah, we've exhausted that topic. That's what you're trying to say, yeah.
No, I don't know if we've exhausted it, man, because I could go on about that van.
I'm sure there's a million. And you know, the funny thing about this is someone's probably screaming right now saying, that's not a trend. I still have that in my car. Or you know, why didn't they talk about this? But
sure,
we do what we can, Ben.
We do what we can, Scott. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you would like to learn more about autos past or present or anything related to automobiles at all, please drop by and visit us at the Auto Channel on HowStuffWorks.com. And if you'd like to write to us with any questions or comments, you can reach us directly at
HighSpeedStuff@HowStuffWorks.com. And don't forget to be kind.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota bZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
If you haven't heard, it's a good idea to fit probiotics into your daily routine. Fortunately, Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls make that so easy. These adorable little pearls couldn't be easier to take, and they support both digestive and vaginal health. All because of the probiotics. There are actually 1 billion active cultures protecting against occasional bloating, constipation, and digestive discomfort, all in one tiny little pearl. To learn more about Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls and how they can fit into your routine, visit naturesway.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.